Good morning, afternoon, and evening to all my blessed beloveds out there in the universe that are joining us today. I wanted to wish you a happy hump day. Today is Wednesday, and we've had some dreary New England weather, and if I were a flower, I would definitely be touching the ground right now, just kind of wilty and ready for some sun and nutrients and love. It's snuggly cold, bone-chilling cold weather for the last couple of days, and really, really looking forward to the sun at some point, even though we desperately need the rain for those of us who love to garden. So it's a catch-22 for sure. Totally cool if it rains at night, but bring me the sun during the day. That's kind of my philosophy, how I like to roll. Had an exciting weekend. I went out, traveled the great blue skies to Philadelphia for Cabot Creamery, the world's best cheddar, my favorite farmer-owned cooperative here in New England. It was a gluten-free expo to ring in May, National Celiac Awareness Month. So for all of those out there that are gluten-free like me, celiacs, give yourself a big high five. It's our month to bring in all the goodies. And that was a fun event. Made a lot of contacts. Whirlwind of an event. And thank goodness I was there because there was a little four-year-old girl who had such severe food allergies. The only item she could eat out of the 20 vendors that lined up was Cabot Creamery because we're lactose-free and gluten-free. So go farmers, and for the farmers, I wish you have some sun too, because, you know, that whole gardening spirit, I'm into it, totally into digging in the dirt. We have a special guest on today, and I keep missing some of the events that she has, so I'm super excited to learn a little bit more about her. We seem to cosmically touch, but have not met yet, so that's really super fun for me. And for those out there who remember Michelle Lowry, she has invited me to meet her horse, Echo, which she spoke lovingly about during our show a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to be doing that tomorrow morning. So I will update you next week as to how cool Echo is and, you know, what he has to say, because evidently he's looking forward to meeting me too. So that's groovy. Look, just, I love my life, and I am absolutely so blessed, and all of the people that I get to meet and all the different methods of healing we get to bring on to the show has skyrocketed me. I jump out of bed early Wednesday mornings, totally preparing for a groovy, great day, and all the feedback that we get. I also wanted to give a great shout-out to my friend Kat, who's out there and virtual land listening to us today. She rocked with my daughter Chloe cutting her hair in such a Chloe fashion that now Chloe has to shake her head back and forth in theme with I wag my tail back and forth, something like that off of the Alvin and Chipmunks movie. She is a hoot, my little blessing. So I'm going to bring on Amy, the fabulous co-host, who rocks her own world in her own way, and say hello, hello, hello.
Hi, everyone out there. Yes, we are having dreary days, but then I get stuff done inside that I've been avoiding when I go outside. So I've been going through the closets and spring cleaning, if you will, inside. But I am very looking forward to go dig in my garden because all my plants are getting ready to go outside, or at least some of them, like spinach and stuff like that.
Yum.
So, you know me. I love to dig in the dirt, so I can't wait for some sunshine.
And if you happen to wake up one morning and your spinach is missing, do not look at me. Spinach is a great source of protein and fiber and just pure love, and being a Popeye fan, I think that was one of the best cartoons
ever.
So you are
the one that's been nibbling on my spinach.
I'm not a rabbit. It's just a costume. So I believe that Anne is out there in virtual land. I want to welcome her and give her a high five in 1 second. For all of you out there, we will be opening up the phone lines for everybody to listen or and call in. As you can tell, I'm really trying to reduce my coffee. So the phone number here is 347-205-9443. So dial in a little while and we can ask Anne some questions. And of course, the chat room is always there for those of you who are sneaking us at work. Dial in, chat in, sign up for your free account so you can ask questions that way too. And sometimes I can get the smoke signals, but not today. So we're definitely going to have you call in or send us a little chat or a Facebook page. That works too. I check that throughout the show. So good morning, good afternoon to you, Miss Ann. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on the show. What I'd like you to start out with is a little bit about who you are and where you're from and what fabulous work you do.
Okay, well, before we do that, if you would be okay with this, I'd like to do a little invocation to address the ancestors first.
Yes, sure. Ma'am. And then you'll have to explain that afterwards for those of us who have absolutely no clue what you're talking about.
I will do that. Okay, so ancestors, grandmothers, grandfathers, the ancestors of the land, the waters, the fire, the earth, the nature, the mineral, the Nayama, to call upon the ancestors of these two women here, hosting, to call upon the ancestors of listening through the radio waves, through the vibration of hearing, the road of people traveling, listening to this station, the internet, all forms of communication. We call upon Gaia, Pachamama. And we give thanks and blessings for this time and the purpose of the message in these frequencies, in these rhythms, in these vibrations. We call upon the ancestors of the world that we have activation for what we yearn in our soul, a purpose, direction, manifestation, and the calling to our own bloodline and our peoples of these lands that walked long before we came. Ashe. So, an invocation, basically, in my study, before I get into a little of who I am, is the protocol. I don't say right or wrong, good or bad, because I don't navigate in that paradigm of morality like that. But the protocol is to greet our ancestors before we run to each other, and then we greet the land that holds the structure of our buildings, our homes, our businesses, our jobs. And then inside those structures, we have family, people, coworkers, community. So that's a little bit about an invocation. I was just doing a little rattling. You could do a tapping. But the bottom line to an invocation, it's very simple. So for all the listeners and people tapping in here, whether we think or we don't think we have ancestors or we know ancestors, we all come from some form of bloodline.
Right.
So connecting to that place often, whether we knew them or not, the interesting thing is we could go seven generations, as I did with somebody yesterday, or 27 generations. That's how far I've gone back. If we don't have a name and we don't know who the person was, the interesting thing is what we do have is their blood, and in that blood of that DNA are the habitual pattern and behaviors that are binding us, oppressing us, and holding us down, as well as the good attributes and traits. So this is why we do the work into the ancestral realm, is ultimately for the unborn child, so that the patterns, behaviors, and some of those things which we can get into further in the call can be the obstacle and the blocks to our purpose and our path ultimately.
Well, thank you for that, Ann. I really appreciate that. I got goosebumps personally, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was, I could feel energy from that, which
I've always been really hard to believe about energy through the sense of communication. I loved how you came in and welcomed all the forms of communication that we use, even though you were doing something very ancient. We're communicating through technical means, and I've always, I'm a very, very feely person, so I like to touch people when I work with them, and, you know, I'm getting used to feeling energy from powerful people like yourself and other healers that we've talked to on, and you're definitely on the top of the charts there.
Shay, that's because I come with a Verizon team. I'm not promoting Verizon right here, but...
What I love about you, Anne, even though we have not met yet, is you have, just in your voice alone, it's a very calming but to the point, bottom line type. You have a lot of fun and you like to fool around, but you're very, very to the point. So can you give us our viewers, and we have quite a few on today, they're very much looking forward to hearing about you, a little bit more about who you are and how you started this path of becoming a shamanic elder and what that means.
Sure, yes. I find it very appropriate today is my mother's 71st birthday.
Happy birthday, Mom. I forgot about that. Yeah. Yes, happy birthday.
Yeah. She's my biggest ally. If you see me, you'll know I have a portrait of her on my back and a tattoo. She's my biggest ally in the ancestor realm. And,
very cool.
Yep, yep. And she's very much alive. And this is the good news for everybody to know. Once our people die, you know, we can still have relationship and work. And I'll get into that a little more. Mm-hmm. So let me tell you a little bit about my life. I always start with my grandmother, Maud Ann F. Shanley. I am the granddaughter of her. And she had 18 children.
Wow.
And my mother was the baby. And I believe my mother came in with this gift, and I do call it a gift, that many of those relatives came to our home to live and then die. I'm 99% Portuguese. Unfortunately and sadly to say, I cannot speak my language. So their enhance shows the delusion. But it's a slow teaching, and I'm learning very little, but trying to self-teach. But the bottom line is, with me growing up with my mother, I sat from age 8 with many of those relatives that came through the house to live and then die. And we did it very ritualistic. I've been a ritual kid all my life. I've slept in the cemetery. I've fixed headstones that I knew nobody of. I used to bring a bucket and pour libation. I didn't even know what I was doing. That's what it was. So I would say that I was definitely an eccentric child. I played out in nature a lot. And swung on trees, and I found a lot of peace in that jungle is what I created out there for myself. And it was a great escape for me. It was a great plug-in. And I'm very, very grateful for my mother, Patricia Mary Holman, today and honoring her, because she really did nurture a lot of my ways. And I'm also a woman that is in my 23rd year of recovery from alcohol and drug addiction. And I come from a long line of alcoholic addicts, suicide, depression, overdose. And I have no shame in that, quite frankly, because I've done a lot of healing in the lineage line of those habitual pattern and behaviors. So it's good news today. And it doesn't mean that some of it still doesn't exist for different characters and casts in the family.
Yeah, I hear you. We all have, you know, those patterns, which is interesting that you talk about that, because I'm divorced, and my two oldest children were very young when I divorced. Not that they didn't have any, you know, they did have a relationship with their father, but I just see some traits that, I'm like, how did he pick that up? when he's there on the weekends. You know what I mean?
And
I see it in my brother from my father. I see it, you know, I see traits from my father's side in my son and, you know, my daughter, and as they're adults now, and they still see those traits. So that's very interesting that you talk about those patterns. I believe, too, that part of my nature of being here is to break those habits in our family, which I was able to do, at least in my life. You know, so that is very interesting what you talk about, those patterns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, they're long-lived. And, you know, we all have them to greater or lesser degree.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I really love about growing up in the place that I did, I grew up in, like, very much a village life. So
mm-hmm.
community was a big, strong thread. And, you know, I guess the testimony to that is when my mother died, I grew up in the city of Lowell, and
mm-hmm.
when she died, there was over 660 people at her funeral.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, there's
mm-hmm.
a park bench in honor of her name. She was the people's politician.
Sure.
And, you know, it's just amazing to me. So there's so many threads that I have of my shadow and my light,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I also feel that, you know, light doesn't exist without the dark and vice versa. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I feel like just growing up in the place that I grew up really helped nurture, and then going into my recovery life and really inviting my mother into that. And then, you know, we lived on for the last 15 years of her life. And basically my relationship there was very spiritually nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very blessed to have had that in the way, even though she was dysfunctional, because she had her
mm-hmm.
own addiction. She had her
right.
own abandonment. She had her own woundedness.
Mm-hmm.
In the recovery life, we were able to heal so much and live. So, you know, really, I feel that we're all out there in modernity, and, you know, I speak about the radio waves and the technologies and all that, and I speak about it because part of my path in this life is about becoming friends with the modernity and the fast pace of modern technology and moving us so fast
mm-hmm.
that the dilution rate is so rapid
mm-hmm.
to potential sacred. And seeing it in my own culture as 99% Portuguese, and then traveling, you know, whether with the Peruvian shamans or the African shaman that was actually just here last week with me for a week, and going to his country and seeing the youth and the dilution of the indigenous peoples
mm-hmm.
and the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like from a young, young age, I've had a nice nurturance of community, unconditional love, compassion, and I've also seen dysfunction and been able to look at, you know, well, what's my path and what do I want to choose to go, and then make that conscious choice into the healing path. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
it starts with healer, heal thyself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout your journey, how did you stumble across shamanism and what doors opened up for you to go down this particular path?
That's a great question. Well, what I feel is probably the early exposure of death and dying. I've been doing death and dying for about 25 years. I later became a grief counselor for about 10 of that, particularly
mm-hmm.
with population in Lowell with HIV and AIDS. We had a residential mm-hmm. home there. And then went on to other target populations, working with schizophrenics and substance abuse. And so the shamanism really for me was from a young age. Just being out in nature and being in the ritual with my mother with the dying somehow got mm-hmm. activated through the dying process. And then later in life, I went into study core shamanism along the lines with Michael Honer and the Sander Ingerman group, which mm-hmm. is shamanic extractions, soul retrieval, that kind of work. And then for the past several years, although I've traveled to Peru with Peruvian shamans and did some work there, for the past several years, studying with Dr. Maladoma Patrice Somay, who's a West African shaman, and I've been to Africa with him and Burkina Faso.
Mm-hmm.
And I am initiated as an elder in that tribe and that medicine of the Dagara people.
Hmm. So give us a little explanation as to what that means. What does it mean to be a Dagara people? And, you know, what does it mean to be an elder? Good gravy. We don't do that anymore, especially mm-hmm. here in America. We've definitely kind of isolated our elders, which drives me bananas.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny because I just had a conference call with a group of initiates getting ready in June through July. For about 3 weeks, I will be out of my home. We have a village, the East Coast Village in upstate New York. Anybody's welcome to check the website of the East Coast Village. And this is a place where we meet. This is a place where we have shrines and lands very similar to Africa. It's mm-hmm. where these shrines have been activated by Maladoma all the way to the motherland of Africa. And to me, basically, being an initiated elder, and I distinctly define initiated elder versus a chronological elder.
Mm-hmm.
But see, it's the chronological elder that I've always honored as a child. I've been always very, very partial to. And coming from such a big family, assisting those elders in crossing over,
mm-hmm.
I've had such a deep passion for the elder. I have an elder in my life, Mary. She's been eldering me for about 23 years. She just turned 80 last week. And I have various other elders. Maladoma Somay is an initiated elder. His initiation process in Africa was about 30 days. My initiation process was 2 weeks, and I was good with that. But really,
so what does that mean for your role? What does it mean to be an initiated elder?
Yeah, what it really means for me, and I guess if you sat with 10 of us, you'd probably get 10 different answers. But
okay.
I think the core of it really means is about eldering your community. You, to your point, we are a throwaway society to our elders. That's my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember once having the conversation with Maladoma, just the passion in me kind of like real fiery about feeling like elders are being extinct. And he looked at me and mm-hmm. he said, elders in this culture are being extinguished,
and it's
like, wow. Like, I look at my mother, who she knew some wisdom, because we never sent our elders to the nursing home. We brought them home to die.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, I mean, you just, everything else went around it. It wasn't an option. So
right.
I'm grateful for that gift. And so, you know, for me, what is being an elder today is it's really about nurturing my community, nurturing my communities, and assisting. You know, I'm a doula, and I'm a minister, and, you know, anything in between, but pretty much anything from womb to tomb.
Is that your bumper sticker, womb to tomb?
Yeah, actually, it could be, though, huh? But pretty much anything.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I like that. Anything from womb to tomb, and how do we nurture that And for me, it's about ritual. Because right. what I've learned, you know, I was a director for safety for a big corporate organization, which I won't mention. And, you know, I just find that ritual is a pathway to find the joy. It's to be the connection. It's to be in the healing, healing self, creating space for healing self. And really, as we see what's going on globally, because I do a lot of global work. I mean, last mm-hmm. year I traveled, from one end of California all the way to the other in the course of 2 weeks doing water rituals for the Master Water Year that we were in.
Wow.
And, you know, and I have some, piece where we can definitely talk about the Dagra cosmology and the five elements that make that up. So really, just to get back to what you're saying, you know, that the eldering is, it's like eyeball to eyeball. It's one person at a time. It's a community at a time. It's elder. It's taking off the labels. It doesn't matter what the story is per se of who's sitting across from me. It's about bringing them to the medicine that their soul is yearning for.
Mm-hmm.
And then not having any attachment to it.
Yeah. That's got to be a hard piece. I know in my meditation practice and in my life, I've never been an attachment person. I'm not a things person. I could really give to Wahoozies if I have the latest of whatever. I'm a creative person, and yet there are certain things that I find that I still have attachment issues with. Mm-hmm. And I surprise myself because I'm genuinely in my head logically and in my Buddhist practice, I don't have any attachment. But then every now and then I find myself finding these little, and they're not things, they're usually people, emotional attachments. And I know for the majority of people in my life, they're very things attached. I have a lot of people who like to have lots of things. And so how do you work with individuals in regards to that and reprogram them not to have those attachments?
Well, you know, through divining processes, I am a diviner. I should probably say that, yes, I am an initiated elder. I'm a shamanic practitioner, a diviner. Again, do birthing and ritual wedding ceremonies. So, from a diviner perspective, I would sit with somebody and then go into what I call, I am a master tracker. So you get into tracking, and although I've been doing inner child work for over 20 years, it's not so much through the Freudian psychoanalytic, and it's not about re-traumering the wound to heal it.
Right.
It's really about tracking what's the disconnect to some of the basic fundamentals of the air, the earth, the fire, the mineral, the nature, the water. So when you utilize some of these elements that sustain us all day long, the standing people, the trees, that you can then get into seeing, well, perhaps that person that has that clinging, that attachment, even hoarding stuff, it might really be disconnect. So maybe they're not feeling connected to the earth. They might need to, so again, it would require divining. And I would say that, you know, for any listener, if you have never had a divination process, please call me because it is quite profound. It's a very action-oriented process to bring about immediate result and movement and shift. However that's going to shift is really, you know, between the other world and this individual.
Forward to that process with you. You had invited me and things came up and I had to try to reschedule with you, but I'm looking forward to going through that with you and definitely sharing it with the audience.
I think that would be really an interesting conversation to have in the future. So definitely an invitation to have you back on after that process.
Awesome. Yeah, see, what the divining process does is we could say, oh, it's an inner child wound. We could say, oh, I'm abandoned. We could, like, pick 50 different things. But when I say, you know, when you sit down for a divining process, what we do is we eliminate what I might think as a practitioner and a healer and what you might think as the divinee, somebody coming in who we would say needs to have water, because we're in a fire-consuming culture. All of us are in that, and I'll talk about the fire year at some point here. But when you sit in this divination process, what you do and what we do is we listen to the ancestors, the other world, the spirit guides. And there's many, many objects in this divining tool, kit, if you will, that will show and give me clues to then investigate and track. And all I need is the person's first name and the last digit of their birth year. I actually request that you don't give me any story and you don't tell me anything. As a diviner, I'm more of a clear channel if I don't have any information about you.
Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is very, very cool, being the scientific, analytical, tangible personality type, because I think it's more authentic. I think the results are more authentic when you don't share the information, and the individual who is picking up on the vibe can actually give you relevant, resonating information that is applicable to you particularly. And so that is another kudos to you. High respect there, because
I know when I do intuitive readings, whether it be tarot or just, you know, spirits come in, and whatever the medium is at that particular moment that works for that person, definitely works better with people I don't have any background with or know any background about. It comes through clearer and more precise, I think. I don't know if you read more into it or it gets a little confusing or what, but that definitely holds true.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is one of the biggest tools I use to release my own need for attachment. And then there are trust and believe, you know, who I am today, the universe, quite frankly, has had its way in dismantling me.
I feel like I'm doing right now.
Right. There's been many initiatory processes that have occurred.
Yeah, I'm just at the beginning of that, really, I think. I started studying energy medicine in my 30s. I've always been drawn to different forms of healing since I can remember as a little girl, even healing my dolls. I would put my hands on them and heal them. I would ask God to heal them. I would ask I had so many different interests. I was interested in paganism. I was interested in every religion known to man. I'm one of those people that I'm like a sponge when it comes to learning. But only stuff I feel is valid that would, you know, help my life. So I've been blessed to be able to wind through that whole process. But I'm very interested to know more also about the fire walking process. And I have on 3 different occasions been invited to your fire walks. And every single time something comes up. And I am going to get there one day. But I'd like to talk a little bit about that at some point.
Well, we can. The good news is there'll always be fireworks as long as I'm walking and breathing. You know, for me, it was probably several years now. I was nudged by spirit, you know, in a meditation and doing an invocation, whatever, to become a certified firewalk instructor, because in the Dagra cosmology, there are 5 elements that are comprised of the element of fire, water, earth, nature, and mineral. And the element of fire is the element that is the gateway to the spirit world, to the ancestor world. And that's why my ancestors, my spirit guides, nudged me to become a certified firewalk instructor. I'm a certified firewalk instructor with Sundor International Firewalk School. Peggy Dillon, who is a phenomenal facilitator. And I mention her, along with Melodoma and some others that I'll make a footnote to, because she was one of the first facilitators I loved, and I've been doing this practice for over 20 years. She pretty much took a book bag out, which was a medicine bag, and said, "These are my tools. You're welcome to them." And I just, you know, I knew she was part of a new paradigm, because there was no hoarding. Whatever she knows, whatever she has, she teaches, she gives it. Mm-hmm. She also took Diane Sawyer on Good Morning America and her whole staff through a firewalk.
Cool. Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah, and we know that Oprah just walked with Tony Robbins.
Yep,
and,
I heard
and
about
that. And my teacher trained Tony, so I always like to give credit where it goes to the original root.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm somebody who tracks everything to the root cause.
Mm-hmm. That's what we need to all get back to, I think. I think the sense of community is slowly coming back. I see it getting better, I should say. Not where it should be, but it's definitely going that way where the, you know, community farmers markets and people are almost like trading again and, you know,
bartering
and getting to know each other and, you know, buying from community. It's a big move doing that, which I think we need to get back to. Working, you know, and helping each other, our neighbors, and, you know.
Yeah, you know, kind of despite ourselves in the modernity, fast-paced world, we are remembering the
mm-hmm.
medicine man, the medicine woman, the medicine elder, and the medicine child within us. And this is the good news. This is the good
mm-hmm.
news that, you know, despite the fast-paced movement, much of our higher aspect in this 100th monkey syndrome of awakening that we're in is coming to this place of knowing that, wow, my medicine is equivalent to anybody else's, and I'm going to bring my medicine to the table, and then you bring yours, and you bring yours, and you bring yours. And what ultimately, with the remedy of community, that I believe 99% of every issue in this world can be resolved in solution strategy with the assistance of community. That ultimately what we create is a feast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that feast will drive out the scarcity, the lack of the community, the
mm-hmm.
oppression, you know, that, you know, when you get into victim, saboteur, this
mm-hmm.
is nature. This is nature out of alignment. Nature in alignment.
Absolutely.
Nature in alignment brings about the magician, the manifestor, the creatrix,
mm-hmm.
the alchemist. When nature is out of alignment, we are in low, dense vibrational frequencies that manifest the victim, the saboteur,
mm-hmm.
archetypes. And the poor me. We become the poor me society. So there's ways, I'm saying this to the listeners, don't give up. There's good news here, and the good news is, look, we all have our shadow, we all have our wound, but
mm-hmm.
there's so much light, there's so much feasting. This seacoast area has so much to tap into, and if you go to somebody and you don't like what it feels like or what they have to say, then don't give up. You know, go to
right.
your ancestors first. Go to your ancestors first and listen. We all have the intuitive ability. Every single living creature is intuitive.
Yes, they do.
And we just really need to give ourselves permission, place, and space to stop long enough. You know.
That's another bumper sticker.
I know, she's full of them today. So, one second, Anne. I'm just going to pop out the number again. It's 347-205-9443. Call in, ask Anne questions. We're down to the last 50 or so minutes with Anne Sosa, a shamanic initiated elder of the Daguar. I'm not pronouncing it right, but that's my Southern meets Yankee again tribe in Africa. And if we could be on for 4 hours, I definitely would just love to learn as much as I can and squeeze out all of the information she has in her head, because it's very intriguing to me, this healing process. So, Anne, can you give us a little bit of the, I know that you and I, when we spoke on the phone privately, you had mentioned that we were water sisters, and I told you that this was because I'm a fire dragon. I'm a fire dragon. I don't remember. Anyway, it's a fire dragon year, but I'm a water sign. And that resonated with you for some reason, and you had some beautiful things to say about that piece, but I want to pull you back, and the reason why I'm asking is because we haven't really gone through the elements of the divination cloth that I did get to see at the expo a couple of weeks ago from one of your students, which I thought was really, really cool, and I love how you have them make this cloth. And so can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
The whole process? Thank you.
Yes. Yep. So I'll start with, because the divining process in this dagger cosmology also holds numerology. So basically look at it like this. The last digit of your birth year indicates what element you are. So for me, I'm 6. I'm actually a master water because 66. So let me take a moment and tell you. From a numerology standpoint, anything 11223355449988, those are all master digits. So what I say to the callers here, if you're 22, 33, 44, 55, 66, 77, honor the master year. You only get it every decade.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a numerology piece for you. Then, so the last digit, and let's just go through the three of us. So I'm 6. I'm the element of water. How about you?
I'm a 6.
I'm a 7. 67, as you go by the last digit?
Yeah, I'm a 76, so I'm a 6 as well. Like,
yeah,
I am.
I'm 67.
Okay, so what's your name again?
Amy.
Okay, Amy, so welcome. This is your year of fire. Now I'll explain it.
She's always on fire, so
and
that's
I do,
very
I dabble in I dabble in numerology as well, so I'm an 11 master number.
Oh. Okay, great. So you take the 2 and add them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
at least
so,
that's what I've been taught anyway.
All right. So the last digits of 0 and 5 is the element of Earth. So what is the element of Earth? You can go on my website, too. Maybe you can
mm-hmm.
do a little, tell that down the road for people if they want to, you know, view and stuff.
Sure.
That the element of Earth, basically, let me back up for a minute. None
okay.
of this is about right or wrong, good or bad, shoulda,
mm-hmm.
coulda. It doesn't hold the vibration frequency of shame, blame, and guilt.
Right.
That paradigm comes from moral driving. That
right.
comes from the corporate driving,
mm-hmm.
excellence, get an A, achieve, be the, you know, be all that you can in the way, but don't be connected to your soul and move further away from that is some of that moral driving. We're seeing those paradigms actually collapse and reshape and reorganize.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not that paradigm. This is
okay.
to get to the root of a cause so that you can reset the patterns, the behaviors, to basically reset the blocks so that you can be further in alignment. So alignment is a key word.
Right.
And the good news for me is if something's not in alignment, I'm usually asking some other medicine woman, hey, can you scan me? Can you check me to see if I'm out of alignment? Why? Because I just want to be maximizing at my full possible potential.
Right.
So the element of Earth, when it's out of alignment, an Earth person could be very nurturing, loving to many, but self-neglect for themselves.
That's the theme for her this year.
Yeah, that's pretty much me.
So the earth, and that's a good point, although you're water, we really want to have all these aspects of these elements in our life.
Mm-hmm.
So earth is about being rooted, connected. It's what we call in the Dagra tradition, Pindan is the rooted connectedness, and Timbalo is the nurturer, the mother. It's like the big mother nipple that we're all drinking from.
My nickname is Mama Bear.
Oh, there you go.
And the name of my business is Earth Energy. so funny.
That's amazing. So if if the essence of Earth is out of alignment, or first let me say that in alignment of Earth is you're connected, you're rooted, you're grounded, you have the ability to self-nurture. You know what self-nurture is. You have the ability to give self-nurture. And there's just that connectedness. So that's Earth. Mm-hmm. Then we go into the next element, which is water, 1 in 6. Water holds, we always want 3 times more water than fire. And I'll stop and pause and give you a little bit reference to this. The indigenous peoples believe that the Western-driven culture that we've created is that we're a fire burning out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all consuming culture.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. I totally agree.
Yeah, and what amazes me when I've done my tracking, as I do, is that there's this sense of, see, water is an element that has it's the one element, the only element that has the capacity to go reconciliation, forgiveness, healing, peace, and it's in that emotional body.
Mm-hmm.
When I found out that I was a master water, and that's because I was born in 66, it made so much sense. I've been a grief counselor for 10 years, doing death and dying for 25, crossing people over. It just, my mother, father, brother, and I are all water. So, Maladoma once said to me, "Geez, you're the ocean."
Yeah.
So, let me tell you when water is out of alignment. Like for me, for example, if I tend to get out of alignment, again, right, it's not bad, good, right, or wrong. See, when we speak the language, it's right, it's wrong, it's bad, it's good, shame, blame, and guilt, what that doesn't do, what it does do for people is it shuts them down and there's no container to heal. So if we track it, that it's out of alignment, but it's out of alignment, well, what do we want to do with something if it's out of alignment? Oh, we want to get to the root cause and create a solution strategy.
Mm-hmm.
From the other world to this world, what you create is a container where people will come and heal. Language is pivotal. Language is critical. And it's, you know, language holds vibration. And if I'm a practitioner and I'm a healer and I'm like, well, that's wrong, that's right, well, why are you doing that? That's kind of stupid. There'll be no healing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
you
just
try to lead them down the right path instead of criticizing them what they're doing wrong.
Right. And focusing on what's in alignment for them.
Mm-hmm.
And their alignment is dictated by their soul, not by anything else, not by me, not by their mother, brother, father, husband, wife, doctor, none of that.
Right.
So it's important. We're a culture that we're away from our home base. So the more we go home and listen to what our soul is tugging us and yearning at us, the more we'll listen to, what is my navigational path? What is my flow? So
the internal GPS.
Yeah, that was, I told you that when we talked, I'm in this whole process of a quantum physics design of this GPS navigational system.
Yep.
Well, that sounds awesome. I actually have a friend who is studying physics at Harvard, and he just got an internship at NASA, but he is looking into storing energy in crystals.
Wow.
Which is you know, he shares these thoughts with me, which I feel very privileged. He's only in his early 20s, but it's just fabulous of the things that I see in these young people, and what, and it makes perfect sense. Why can't we do that? You know what I mean? He's looking at it as, I know I can, I just have to find the way. That's how he's looking at it, which is really intriguing and inspiring to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's endless possibilities. So let me go back to the water. So water, for example, where I could tend to be most scattered is administratively. Because quite frankly, I did a lot of administrative, and I don't really like it. I like to be doing what we're doing now, or even face-to-face, you know, in ritual and having, you know, a cup of tea and conversation that way versus sitting in front of a computer just doesn't work for me.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, so, you know, that's my forgiveness, if you will, why some of my websites aren't totally updated. But so that's a little bit about water, and then we go to the next element, 2 and 7. What I want to say about water, this is really profound, and I'm grateful I have the opportunity and the invite here. Last year was 2011, as we know. It was a master year because it was 1-1, right? The last master water year we had was 1966. That's the year I was born. The next master water year we'll have is 2066, which I won't see. So, I mean, and just to give you a magnitude, and I've been tracking this for several years, how these elements tie into what's going on globally. And I'll share a little bit about it. On 3/11/11, we had the tsunami. Right? So here we are in a master water year, and we had this tsunami. In 2010, on January 5th, 2010, we had the Haiti earthquake. Then from there, we had the bleeding of the oil. For 4 months, they couldn't stop. Then we had half of Europe closed down for volcanic activity. Yep. And they estimated, scientists stated, that we had the most earthquake activity in 2010 ever recorded. And it was the element of Earth, zero.
Wow.
So now, look at this master water year. What I want to say to the listeners is we will never, anybody living right now will never experience coming from a master water year to the year of fire, which is 2 and 7. And it will never, ever be the same this way, because this is the year of fire. That's the end of a Mayan calendar. So why do I share this? Because there's a lot of indigenous medicine. There's a lot of global unearthing, shifting. And I'm seeing it with people. If you want to manifest something in your life, the earth is at its highest vibrational frequency to manifest. And that also goes to, if you want to check out and create disease and illness, I'm seeing rapid sickness and death. Because the law of attraction doesn't know health or sickness. It's neutral.
Yeah, it doesn't hear the negative. It doesn't hear it as negative or positive. It just hears your request.
It's a frequency that it goes to, and whatever you're vibrating out is what, in fact, will be manifested.
I believe in that. I've been learning more about that recently, and a lot of people, you know, they're talking about 2012, and there's so much. I have learned to shut the TV off, which has been very, you know, I'm not saying I don't watch it, but I definitely don't watch it a lot anymore. And it's because when you're focusing on the negative things or the most negative thing that can happen, you're actually making it happen. And people don't understand that, you know. But I'm seeing it. It's getting clearer and clearer day by day that this is definitely something that we need to focus on. I also feel, I don't know if you feel this or not, being an energy worker, that we need to work with our children, and we need to work with them now.
Absolutely.
I've been drawn to initiate Reiki to children and teach them to use it now instead of trying to find it in, you know, their 30s. That balance. They need to be able to achieve that before everything unfolds.
Yeah, that's a great point. And also, you bringing up, you know, a lot of some of what we would say the negative media and, you know, all that stuff. It's, you know, what I say to people is, you know, if you're turning inside and you're struggling inside, this is the best prescription, shamanic prescription, not a medical prescription. I'm not a medical doctor. That you'll ever give yourself, which is go sit with nature. Connect into nature. Nature can bring in such an incredible frequency. I'll talk about that in a minute. I want to get into Amy, who is the element of fire. This is your year, my sister.
I know. So, I've been being told that.
So, you know, this, the element of fire is the gateway to the ancestors. It's the gateway to the spirit world. It's the phoenix rising. So somebody who's real fiery, they could be kind of like a hummingbird energy. May need to, like, you know, they might be fire burning out of control. So what people say to me, oh, so would you use water to treat them? Not necessarily. I may bring them into actually a mineral ritual to bring them closer to the remembrance of who they've come to be, because that fiery energy could just really be their frustration of what they know they're connected to, that source. So it's really through the divining process, if you will, that you then figure out what's the remedy in some cases. So fire is somebody who can't get their fire up, might have a solar plexus issue in your chakra system.
Yep, that seems to be the chakra that I always need to work on.
Yeah, mine too. So, and you know, it's also the chakra that's connected to all our relations. So, you know, there's the prana technique where you can just take your hand, put it up by your crown chakra, and just take your arm full length and sweep it across your body, cutting energetic cords.
Yeah, I kind of feel that process happening now. I feel like I'm letting go of some things that I've been hanging on to.
That's beautiful.
Learning to nurture myself, which is a very hard thing for me. I'm a nurturer of everyone else and to almost exhaustion. And I've learned through meditation that that's what I need to do. So meditation has been that vehicle for me to just sit and breathe and connect to myself and reconnect to the earth, because I have felt a path, but not like I know my path, but I almost feel like I connect and disconnect, connect and disconnect. So I'm trying to figure how to stay connected.
Beautiful. And that's a great, again, I'll give a remedy prescription, a suggestion, if you will.
Sure.
Me, it's all cafeteria style. Take what you like and leave the rest.
A la carte. That's exactly how I flow.
Yeah. So, you know, that's also another thing, is to sit with the Earth Mother and, you know, lay on her and connect your belly, your womb, your breast, your heart chakra, and just, you know, feel held. You referenced something that I want to go back to the earth element before I finish with fire, and I want to reference, this was through a tracking process of listening to several clients and students of mine reference how they were so exhausted after they gave of themselves. And in tracking it, because I come from a long line of, you know, victim archetype in the addiction realm in my family lineage, and a lot of the times I have cousins that would be, oh, you know, how you doing? It didn't matter if it was sunny, raining, if they won $1 million or whatever, their words were all, oh, so exhausted. What I realized is doing some investigating, some tracking, that this is a real gold nugget for everybody here.
Mm-hmm.
When we feel exhausted, and I think we're smart enough in a culture to know if we're exhausted or tired. They're two different frequencies of energy.
Mm-hmm.
When we feel exhausted, what I've concluded through several months of investigating, the source of exhaustion is because the energy to which we gave was from our woundedness. Hence will result in exhausted. So when we feel exhausted, we're giving from a wound. If you're giving from a whole health place, if we're giving from a whole health place, we'll feel tired at times, but the exhaustion just is not there. And I can tell you, as somebody who, you know, comes from a mother who died of ovarian cancer and was exhausted, as many people as she helped and as many people that came to her wake and loved her, and I'm grateful we closed out her life. And I'm talking drums and rattles, soul retrieval, very shamanic, hundreds of people coming in a whole procession for over 30 hours while she was crossing. The whole community just came from throughout the city of Lowell. She gave from exhaustion, and she closed out her life knowing that she gave from her wound. There was nothing that she could do. And for me, I'm resetting that pattern in that lineage line. Many of my female lineage ancestors died from that martyr, from that cape energy of giving and never self-nurturing. So, you know, this is why we do the ancestor work. This is what the element of fire is, the gateway to the ancestors. The element of fire is about dreams and visions. This is the year, and the fact that it's a Mayan calendar ending, it's a powerful year for those indigenous peoples. And, you know, we're never going to experience this at a conscious level with this, you know, element of fire coming from a master warrior into the year of the end of the Mayan calendar, and then them going on to 2013, which is a new beginning.
Hello, Anne. We're down to about 25 minutes, so is there any way that you can go into the other elements?
Yes. So
Thank you. Now
go into nature, which is 3 and 8, last digit of birth year, 3 and 8. I talked a little bit about nature. So nature in alignment creates the vibration of the magician, the creatrix, the Merlin, the alchemist energy. It's very like fairy-like. It's that effortless navigational flow. When nature is out of alignment, again, it's not right or wrong, good or bad. When nature's out of alignment, it's going to have low vibrational density. It's going to be in the victim, the saboteur, the predator energy, and the shadow. In my apprenticeships, I do annual apprenticeships with men. I do annual apprenticeships with women. I have one coming in August for women, so if you're interested, whatever my contact info that we may list or not.
I'm very interested. Actually, can you give us your website address? I forgot to do that at the beginning. I'm sorry, Anne.
Sure, no problem. I have Anne Sousa. Let me give you my email, which is annsousa@yahoo.com. My, and you know, we can say that again if we need to. And then I have actually three websites. I'll link you to Shamanic Pathways Healing Center. Shamanic Pathways Healing Center. Then I have Healing the Global Village. And then I also have Costa Rica Soul Work Retreat. I just came from 5 weeks in Costa Rica. Every year I bring a group or in a retreat to Costa Rica. I'll be gone for 2 months next year doing two separate retreats one at the ocean with a firewalk and the other into the woods in the jungle with two shamans.
Hmm. Wonderful,
yeah.
Thank you. Can you give us the other elements, please?
Yes, the element of mineral, which is 4 and 9. Mineral is about the stones and bones of remembrance. It's the storyteller, it's the record keeper. They're methodical, they're organized. So somebody may be an internal mineral or an external mineral. This is where you activate. This is where you can activate. If you look at, you know, earth is about connected and grounded. Water is about frequency, molecular. Fire is transforming. Nature is vibrational. Mineral is activating. And all of this, I've treated families, 8 children, husband, wife, husband and wife's counseling. So you can really do a good piece of work utilizing this cosmology.
Yes, well, I work with essential oils, so I study the elements and, you know, chemistry and all that kind of stuff. So this is kind of, and the numerology piece, so I'm able to kind of follow along with you a little bit. I'm very interested in all of this. It is fascinating how numerology plays such a high mark in our lives in the tracking that you speak of.
You referenced, if I could take a minute, I have a firewalk this Saturday. If you're interested, the 8th chakra in Dover, you can contact Alice, and that number is 603-742-1133. The sacred site's always announced once you book. We have to have, you know, the sacred.
Right, exactly. And I did meet Alice. I actually participated in her fair a couple of weeks ago. If you see, I'm not sure if I can make it this time. Now, you said you had, will you have it on your website with the upcoming ones that are coming up?
No, I probably won't have them on my website, but anybody can email me.
Okay.
So there's one this Saturday, and then there'll probably be another couple during the summer. I also have an ancestralization ritual June 15th and 17th. You know, my humble opinion, everybody could benefit from doing this 3-day ritual process to ancestralize their ancestors. Basically, why do we do it? It's for the unborn child. We go back into the lineage line. We connect to some of the way an ancestor might have died, say a heart attack, a suicide or something, and we reset some of the habitual patterns so that the unborn child is no longer plagued with it. So that's June 15th and 17th. Again, they can contact me directly.
Okay.
I have some earth ritual. I do private divinations all day, every day. And like I said, that's a pretty powerful process.
Yeah, I definitely think I want to set up something with you. Now, we went over the mineral, the earth, fire, and water.
And we went over nature.
Okay.
In nature. Okay, so we got them. All right. So, Anne, in the last few minutes, what I would like to welcome is your, you have a youth program or a youth group that you support. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Cultural Youth Festival in Africa is, I went in 2010, and I went to Costa Rica last year, so I didn't make it. And basically, if you go to Maladoma, Maladoma, SOMA.net, I believe. You can look him up. He's got a couple great books. He's written several books of water and spirit and community. And you'll see some information on the Aviella non-for-profit website.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's a cultural youth fest every February, where we raise money. In 2010, I think we raised $20,000, and you know, supported and held and did ceremony all week for over 3,000 youth. Because in,
wow.
In the indigenous cultures, what's happening is modernity is penetrating these third world countries, these indigenes. And
mm-hmm.
it's deluding the youth from knowing how to speak, dance their language, do the ceremonies and the rituals because they want to buy computers and objects and stuff. So it's a real thing. I mean, I'm a witness to it, and the fact I'm 99% Portuguese, I can't speak my own language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yep, Melodoma Somme. There's also another group in Alisa Stockweather. I did a 2-year priestess path. She's a phenomenal, mm-hmm. phenomenal women's mystery school. I have about 350 priestess path sisters at my back, and
mm-hmm.
she is a phenomenal facilitator. Every August, we do an event in at Daughters of the Earth. That's what it is, DOE, and it's in Petersham, Massachusetts, at Earthlands. And last year, I do a grief ritual. Last year, there was about 140 women. So that's just at this ritual. There's usually about 200. So women, if you want to come for a weekend with drumming and workshops and empty a container, sign
mm-hmm.
up is now. Contact Alisa's website. She's very, very powerful. I really believe that priestess path is every woman's birthright. It's a 9-month program that initiates. There's many other things. She's a global mama. There's many other things that she's doing in the world. She's
mm-hmm.
a great mentor and a great colleague of mine, as well as Melodoma Somme. The good news is he's come last week. He was here for a week. He'll be back. So we'll be doing more ritual.
Okay.
Yeah, I strongly recommend people to contact me regarding the ancestralization. If you have particular pattern, behaviors, addiction going on in your lineage line, this would be the time. I have an event coming in August as well, possibly, but right now June is it.
Okay.
And there's only space for 20 people, so it's limited just because of the nature of the ritual.
Okay. And that's going to be, where is that held again, that June ritual process?
That will be in the New Hampshire area, sacred site to be announced.
Okay.
And it's June 15th through the 17th.
Okay.
But it's in the seacoast area.
Okay.
All right, but people can get more detailed information by just emailing you at ansosa, S-O-U-S-A, @yahoo.com, right?
Yep,
A-N-N. Did I get that right?
Yep, it's ANNSOUSA. And, I don't mind giving my cell phone, 978-479-1335. So, again, if you're interested in divination, many rituals. Basically, you know, as a ritualist, I have an earth ritual coming up in May. And so there's water ritual, there's earth ritual, there's fire walk, there's mineral ritual. You know, basically taking whatever it is and bringing it through some of the various medicines. You know, with each of these rituals, there's various medicines I'm working, or we're working as a community. And then, of course,
mm-hmm.
I have the women. The women's shamanic apprenticeship is 5 months. The men is 5 months. The end of May, I do every year. I've just started last year. I had a group of, that's where you saw the cloth, one of my students.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
I know who it is. She's a good friend.
Yep. I actually teach 7-month intensives on a diviner shamanic intensive.
Mm-hmm.
I actually teach
nice.
The cloth. My global mission is about mutating this medicine and this work.
Mm-hmm.
And inviting all of us to take our medicine bags out of the closet, get the dust off, bring our medicine to the feasting table, and we all share.
Yes. So, my dear Anne, who I just am dying to just meet you in person, we've got about 10 minutes left before we are done and the computer shuts us all down in this world of technology. What is the largest message that you want to get out to our viewers? Again, we are international, which is a blessing. Is there any real strong message in the last few minutes that you want to share?
Yeah, I feel like I want to share, be gentle with yourself. Create a container, a little space on this earth for you. Whatever square foot that is, find some community, some connection. Go back to your ancestors. If your mother's alive, God bless you. You're fortunate. Whether you have struggle or strife in those relationships, the time is now to heal. Whatever the wounds are, the time is now to heal. Ride this high frequency of this unearthing that's going on in the Great Mother. Much is coming up. It's where we see a lot of the negative, what we would say the negative energies. And, you know, just offer the love that's in your heart. Find that place. Go to your ancestry, your bloodline. Sit, if you have an elder in your life, and listen to their stories so that they can be captured and passed down. Go into nature. Sit with the earth. Sit at the ocean and feed yourself often from these places that have a higher rate of sustainability than a TV or, a glass of, something to alter or food. Because I think and I feel that we're such an addictive culture, and not just because I come from a long line of that, but we have a lot of that compulsivity and that fire consuming of more, more, more. Just put the brakes on. And if you come to my space, you'll see I have over 4 hammocks at any given time set up throughout my home. So, I'm at any floor level and swinging in or swinging out.
I love it.
You know, it's kind of like giving yourself permission to be swaddled.
I love hammocks. I used to love sitting in them in the springtime especially and taking in all the sounds of spring. I've noticed this year, since I have been going into myself a little more, how bright spring is. This spring is just spectacular.
Really,
I can't. The greens, I've never seen anything like it. I don't know why. I've never noticed it before.
That's why. You've never noticed it before.
And yeah. I'm a very earthy person. I always have been. You know, gardening and being out in nature is my world. I do not like getting stuck inside. I definitely agree with everything you've said. You've been extremely interesting and would love to have you back on as well as meet you in person. So
yes.
I thank you for sharing, what I think is just a little bit tip of the iceberg that you could share with us. I really appreciate what you have shared with us today.
So, Anne, it's Rusty. Just wanted to make sure that you feel that you got your entire message out that you wanted to get out today, because we have a couple more minutes.
I think the last thing I would say is don't lose the humor.
No. Absolutely. No. Do not lose your funny bone. Your funometer has to be fulfilled, because that comes from the soul, and that's what resonates your entire self, I think, personally. Yeah. Laughter. It's very good medicine. So is there anything that you want to say in regards to this fire year? What can, what kinds of things or activities can people do at this point to really harness a little bit of this wild, wild ride? I'm a water sign, but I was born, I believe, in a fire dragon Chinese zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
Water year with your group, and astrologically I'm a water sign. So what do you suggest for activities for all of us this year that would be most embracing?
What I would say is ask somebody in your family, if you don't, find a picture of somebody that you know that you are connected to, and if you're adopted and you're struggling, call me, because we can work it from that angle too. But light a candle and sit, create a little altar for yourself and sit with that person that's crossed over the other side. In our culture, and especially as a grief counselor in doing death and dying, in our culture we don't talk about sex or death. And after death mm-hmm. occurs, we think 2 weeks you should be over it, move on. And one of the things is we have arms and legs, and the ancestors of your lineage has the vision for several months, 7 years down the road. And when we take those arms and legs and we bridge them in what I call the marrying of a relationship, you build allies, you build a team, and they're so eager to work with us. And work with you for what? To bring you closer into your soul's navigational purpose. And it can become very effortless when you create an ally, a resource from the other world. So they are physically dead. We honor that. And they are so alive to work in our everyday life.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, go ahead, Anne. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, what's at risk and what have we got to lose to try it?
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Well, you've been listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty and fabulous co-host Amy. We've been on the airwaves, and I did not take my little normal stretch meditative coffee break purposely, because Anne has a lot to share, and it's just really interesting to speak to. So feel free to reach out to her if you are local, or if you just want to cruise up here to the Seacoast area and want to learn more about her. She does have a website, I believe. One of them, let's see, I can't read Amy's handwriting. And so, oh, yeah, it's www.annsousa.com. And you can learn a little bit more about her, and her email's on there as well. And I'm very grateful to her for giving us the time. And wow, I still have tons and tons of questions, but we'll save that for another show. Anne, I'm very grateful to have you on. Is there anything that you want to do to close out?
Yeah, we'll close how we open with an invocation, if that's okay.
That's absolutely okay. And if, for everybody out there, this is Rusty saying, love you, bless you, hug you, hold you, caress you, and know that you are beautiful and wonderful. And I will talk to you next week on the airwaves on the superhighway of international big hugs, blessings, and love. Rusty's out, and Amy?
I'm out.
Amy's out, so we're going to end the show with a divination by Anne Sousa. Thank you.
An invocation.
Invocation, sorry. I'll learn.
That's okay, yep. Ancestors, grandmothers, grandfathers, Pachamama, Gaia, water beings, fire beings, Mbalo, Tengan, nature beings, ancient, we thank you. The world that has brought us here, we greet the world that will bring us to the next place that we are going in this journey. So we feel the connection to our own blood, our own bloodline. May we feel the rootedness, the connection to the Earth Mama, Aya, Pachamama. May we honor the year of the fire and the Mayans and say thank you. The deep water being of reconciliation and forgiveness, we give gratitude. The rooted and groundedness of the Earth Mama, the connection into the magician, the Merlin, our purpose and truth and path, nature, to the ancient bones and stones of remembrance. As we say, Ashe. Blessings.
Thank you so much, Anne.
Yes, thank you.
Journey well.
You well. Be well.